like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, we're still waiting to see what's ultimately going to happen with the two remaining Pac-12 teams. We've got Oregon State and Washington State, both getting wins over the weekend. Kevin Lytle put together a story at the Coloradoan, and as Kevin even told me at the game Saturday, he's like, it's not much. We don't know much. It's Gloria Navarez, the Mountain West commissioner, says they have started conversations, that they've had chats. Well, she was at both of the, she was, of course, in Fort Collins watching Colorado State, and I believe she was there on site. I know she was there throughout the week and had talked to Washington State folks, but she was also at the Oregon State game, too.
Yeah, Oregon State and San Jose State.
Yeah.
She was also there.
Yeah, so they're meeting with, they met with leadership of both Washington State and Oregon State recently, but they were exploratory meetings rather than finalize a deal meetings. So, chats going on. Are they going to be in the Mountain West?
I don't know where else they'd go.
They got to go to the Mountain West. I mean, that just, it makes
Everyone
sense.
Else is full.
They would own that conference.
I mean, you could find the SEC has two spots open. So.
Would you want them over there?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Southeastern Conference country. Here comes Oregon State and Washington State. They would get annihilated there. They would be bad all the time. But that was a bad look for CSU. Gloria Navarez there promoting the program, promoting CSU, promoting the Mountain West. And you're on CBS Sports. CBS Sports is nationally televised. No? It's not a national television? Why do you shake your head?
Because it is for like a majority of cable providers, but it is
DirecTV, Comcast, and Dish all have CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, but it's kind of included in like a special package of sports. Like your extra sports channels like your SEC Network, your NFL Network, golf, CBS Sports Networks, FS1, they're all kind of...
So when March Madness is airing on CBS Sports Network, it's not considered national television?
Is it on CBS?
Sometimes.
It's just CBS.
TNT and TBS.
Yes, yeah.
Are those nationally televised networks?
I believe so.
Yeah, so that CBS Sports...
CBS Sports Network isn't its own. Like I don't think that one's national.
It's national. It's
mostly national.
If you lived in Florida and you subscribed to CBS Sports Network on your dish, you could watch the CSU game.
Yes.
That, to me, means national.
If
you lived in Florida and you wanted to watch the Nuggets play, you could not do that.
Right.
So, unless they were on TNT or something. So, yes, it's net. Come on, semantics. This is how bad it is for CSU.
It's just technicality.
Yeah, it's nationally.
You're paying an extra like $5-6 for it.
It's still nationally televised. I think NFL Sunday Ticket is a nationally televised thing. Even when you have to subscribe to it, meaning I can get it anywhere.
You can, but not everyone can get it anywhere.
I can't get Rockies games anywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. So that's why the way I view nationally televised, is there an option for everyone in the country to watch you? Yes. And that's CBS Sports. Did you watch the Portland State and Oregon thing happen?
No.
81 points by the Ducks. 81-7. They scored 22 in the first and 28 in the second. Portland State kept it close in the first, 22-7.
At what point are you just like, this isn't fun? Is there no level of empathy that comes over you? Like, oh, they haven't scored at all. Like, oh, I'll let them go this once.
Well, and then it brings up that conversation of, should they have just called the game after the third quarter?
Probably.
Is that... Would people really... Now, you get the one side is like, no, man, it's football. Keep going. Then the other side's like, call the game at halftime.
Well, like, I know when I'm playing Madden, I'm up by like 4 touchdowns. I'm like, this is boring. Can this game be over?
Can you quit?
I'm just going to run the ball.
Please quit. Somebody, if you're playing online, quit. 81 points. Bo Nix. 287 yards and three touchdowns.
That's it?
That's it. Because they put in Ty Thompson and Austin Novosad. I don't know. A lot of push-ups, though, for the old Donald Duck guy. A lot of push-ups. 81-7, Portland State. Did you watch last night's game? Clemson and Duke?
I did.
Weird game.
I love to see Clemson lose. So,
did you see the play, though, where the Clemson quarterback is sliding, trying to get a first down, it's fourth down, they're going for it. I think it's still two touchdown game. Defensive player hits him. Looks like it hit him in the head, like he led with his helmet. Mm-hmm. But they called it a penalty, but they didn't give him the first down.
They called it a dead ball foul. It was dead ball personal foul with targeting.
Right.
And basically how they explained it is when the quarterback started his slide, that is when you're down.
Right.
You start that slide, and that was behind the first down marker. So he slides before the first down on fourth down, so it's already a turnover right there. He gets hit after the play, so it's a dead ball foul, and then it's targeting. I believe they reviewed it and then said it wasn't targeting, but they still committed the personal foul.
But it was a turnover on downs.
It was still a turnover.
They just used the penalty and backed the Duke's offense up.
Yep.
I think that is a terrible play call. That is a terrible decision. Like, it happened.
If it was third down, I get it, but it's fourth down. Like, that's the rule. It's fourth down. You start the slide.
So dumb.
That's it. Now, if he'd have dove forward and then got hit, then it would have been 15 yards and a first down. But because he gave himself up, can't hit him.
But it was still a penalty. And
because you hit him. It's a dead ball penalty.
But what I'm saying is it should have been a first down Clemson.
It was a fourth down. He was already.
But it was a penalty.
The play is over. Once he gave himself up, the play is over.
But the hit occurred during the play.
No, the hit after the play. It's a dead ball foul.
But
it's like if you get hit out of bounds.
Hit. If the Clemson quarterback's rolling out left for and doesn't get the first down, he goes out of bounds, and then guy hits him out of bounds, and it's a late hit. Wouldn't that not be a first down?
No, it's fourth down. Because once the play is stopped, the play is done.
Stupid to me.
It doesn't make much sense.
It should be a first down Clemson. If the penalty happens, and I don't care if it's dead ball, there's still something going on.
But the play's done.
But
the guy gave himself up.
But the guy hit him. He went low.
Then it's a late hit.
That should be a first down.
But it's a dead ball play because
what
the play
if it was roughing the passer? Would that have been first down?
In that situation?
Like he throws it deep, incomplete. Then he gets hit.
Yes.
First down.
Yes.
Clemson.
Yes.
So that should
because
be the
he's
same.
He's not giving himself up. He's throwing the ball away, but
would you change that rule today if you could? Would you do you like that?
I don't see anything wrong with
that. Oh, I think
it's frustrating.
It's a penalty.
It's confusing, but it's the rule.
The penalty was committed by the defense and it hurt.
But it's after the play because
Duke's
the
offense
decided to end the play. The quarterback said, "Okay, I'm sliding."
That is a weird rule. I get it. But it's a weird rule.
But if on the quarterback, if he'd have just dove for it and then he got hit, all right, that's 15 and a first down.
Boy, that reminded me of CU last year when the quarterback slid like a yard before the first down.
I thought you were going to say when the lineman hit Clay.
No, CSU. Is that a penalty?
Friendly fire.
Boy, that situation is interesting. Colorado State, what do you got for
me? I did have one story here that just broke. Chiefs Travis Kelce suffered a hyperextended knee at practice on Tuesday. His status is uncertain for Thursday's game. That, in addition to Chris Jones' holdout, Chiefs may be out two players on Thursday.
Lions going to win on Thursday? If this game was Sunday, I would say Kelce's playing. There's no way, but it's Thursday.
I don't know. Might just spoil the banner raising.
That's only a 7.5-point spread.
I mean, we talked about what are the Chiefs without Hill? What are they without Kelce and Hill?
I mean, Mahomes is still Mahomes, but Kelce's his guy.
Second best offensive player and your best defensive player.
Yeah, yeah. Next man up only works for so long.
Dan Campbell, come for the knees.
Yeah. Saturday was interesting, Angel. I mean, again, the Buffs beat TCU, so that's the story. So nothing that happened at Canvas Stadium was going to even come close to that. But you have that, and then you have Andrew Peasley just tough as nails, dude. Wyoming beat Texas Tech in overtime. Was it double overtime? Yeah, because Texas Tech scores first. They go for two. They don't get it. Wyoming scores. They go for two. They get it. Game over. Because you have to go for two in the second overtime. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Peasley, that touchdown pass that he had to tie the game in second overtime, the blitz was in his face. He just takes a hit but completes a dart. And that was tough. That was he was a candidate for my Zvi Brewing Player of the Week. But Travis Hunter's, I got to go with that. Okay, all hate aside for CU, what Travis Hunter is doing is special. You got to at least admit that.
It is. I've never seen anything like it. I do worry about his health.
Yeah, how long can you keep going at that rate?
Yeah, 100 snaps is great, but you're talking 1,000-plus snaps in a season?
Well, I saw one report was 120, and then another report said 140 snaps. That's a lot.
It's impressive. I really worry about his long-term health.
Yeah. Yeah, probably doesn't do a lot of practicing. I'm guessing they rest him a lot throughout the course of the week.
Special treatment.
Yeah, but if he's playing both ways, you understand.
I'm working over here, and this guy's just sitting over there on his phone. I don't like that.
No, I doubt he's sitting there on his phone. He's probably out there practicing.
He's got to get up all his social media interactions.
Well, he's definitely got to keep his cardio up because you can't play 140 snaps and not be in the best shape out there.
He's also like 120 pounds.
Yeah.
He's not the biggest dude out there. He's tall, but he's not like built. He's athletic.
Shador was a candidate. Shador Sanders, 38-47. I mean, it's just an efficient game. 510 yards and 4 touchdowns. Just he's
good.
He's good.
I want to see some adversity.
Dylan Edwards, who ran for 24 yards, but it was his receiving that made him a candidate. 135 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. He was the fourth guy on my list, and he got the least amount of votes of those. A guy that had 135 yards and 3 touchdowns. So it just kind of it was a good weekend for certain players. But I'm going to Canvas Stadium knowing that, okay, no matter what happens here, it's not going to even come close to the hoopla surrounding the Buffs. Get there, and immediately, CSU's going right down the field. You know, the student section showed out. People are trickling in as the first quarter progressed. And I don't know, was it 85%? Was it 90% full? I don't know. It looked good. There was a lot of people in the stands. It didn't look embarrassing or anything to be on national television, by the way, CBS Sports. They roll right down the field, end up having to settle for a field goal. Then the rest of the way, it's shotgun formation. Run the ball, 2 yards. Short pass, run the ball again, 2 yards. They were set up on 3rd and 8 so much throughout the game. I mean, there was a ton of 3 and outs in this game. I mean, I've got the notes here. I mean, they 3 and out. Let's see. 3 and out. 3 and out. 3 and out. I mean, just a lot of 3 and outs. Going to the half, though, 17-3. Still doable. Washington State then just started to get to the point where they could do everything. I mean, their quarterback, Cameron Ward, was special in that game. Defense had their moments for CSU, but it wasn't great. You know, and again, I heard Kevin Lytle on with Tanner this morning saying that Jay Norvell kind of wanted to ease into the game, hoping that the defense would hold up and they could just kind of ease into the game. Here is Jay Norvell, though, yesterday in the press conference, because Saturday's tone was, I would say, a lot more negative about the quarterback position. Yesterday's tone, to me, sounded a little more like he was in Clay's corner and he was taking some of the ownership for how the first half went. Here's Coach Norvell.
And, you know, I just really, as a staff, you know, I want to take responsibility for like what happened this weekend. We called the game a certain way. We had some real issues a year ago where we made a lot of negative things happen, and we were really wanted to go into this season not beating ourselves. And I probably got to take the brunt of that responsibility. You know, in doing that, we kind of played a little close to the vest. And we played against a real hot quarterback that was playing well. We got in a shootout really quickly in that game. And we weren't set up to respond that way. And so I take full responsibility for that. I had some great talks with Clay, and we gotta put ourselves in position to use our playmakers better. And we got really good players, you know, Torrey and Dallin and on offense, and our other receivers. I gotta do a better job getting them involved in the game early.
All right, so I appreciate that from Norvell, but I also walk away thinking, why was that the plan? You know, Coach Norvell said they weren't set up for a shootout. Angel, what does Fort Air Raid mean to you? What does air raid mean to you? Set up for a shootout? I think so.
Shots. Explosives. You can run.
Nobody had that fire in their gut driving to the game, I guess. Huh? That was a terrible speech by
taking the bus
Gannon
to the game or something.
Yeah.
Hands up.
That was a weird thing. Who drove over here? Okay, who took the bus? Raise your hand. Did you have that fire in your gut? My question is, like, why does it matter if I took the bus or if I drove? What's the significance of that?
Humbleness?
I don't understand. So if I took the bus, I don't have fire, or if I drove, I don't have fire? I don't understand that quote. But go look it up if you guys missed it. It's interesting. Why is Jay Norvell saying, hey, we weren't set up that way? You know what? I'm just going to call it what it is. It sounds like the offense was scared from last year. They were so worried bad things were going to happen that they thought they could just run the ball and find a way to keep it close. And you're not set up to run like that. Yes, it worked out last year with Avery Morrow. But, Angel, this looked like a Broncos offense from last season. Running out of the shotgun, starting behind in drives. I mean, it was rough.
When we talk to coaches across all levels, when it comes to game week preparation, the 3-4 practices you have during that week is really focused on, okay, our first 16 plays that were scripted out of the gate. And then we're going to work on our, you know, okay, here's our reactionary plays. And then here's what we're going to do if we have a 2-minute drill. And you work on those specific situations that are, you know, centered around your game plan. If your game plan is run the ball, stay balanced on offense, run first, and then pass. If that's the game plan and that's all you're doing all week, it's kind of hard to look at yourself and during a game and say, we need to change it. It's not working. And that's a coach's job. That's a coaching staff. That's a player's job to have that awareness. But I can understand, you know, okay, we weren't set up this week to go into a shootout. We were set up to ground and pound.
But what you're recruiting for is Fort Air Raid. What you're getting in the transfer portal is supposed to be for Fort Air Raid. And yet, okay, if you want to run the ball, line up under center and let's go. Let's get behind this, hope, you know, this new and improved offensive line, which it seems like they might be. This was my thing with the Broncos last year. Stop running the ball from shotgun. The run from the shotgun, Angel, is to be a delay, is to be a delayed handoff, is to throw a defense off. But if you say, I'm going to commit to the run, then let's get an I formation situation going on, single back, whatever, and let's run. But instead it was, we're not set up for what we've been promoting that we are, for air raid. Texter from the 970, can we discuss the kiss of death you gave my Rams by picking them to win outright? If I'm your biggest problem, if I'm the reason your team's losing, then you've got issues. Yeah, my picks were bad. Very bad this week. Texter here, the change from the first drive to the subsequent six, where they didn't even get another first down, was puzzling. I was especially bothered by the lack of adjustment after half. Yeah, everybody's going and throwing Clay under the bus. And I get it. People know me. I have the Clay Millen show here that airs on Tuesdays. We recorded on Mondays. We were off yesterday. So we'll be back at it next week. Clay's not going anywhere. But the whole talk of, like, bench Clay, it was awful. You can't throw the ball downfield. And Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, he's the guy. Okay, you guys are smart. Hooligans, you're smart. You're football people. What did Washington State do in that fourth quarter that a lot of teams do when you're winning big? What do they do on defense? Prevent defense, backup cornerbacks. I mean, Braden's first drive, he made a couple of good throws, and then he throws a pick. It was a short throw. It was double coverage, and he throws a pick. So we need to calm down just a little bit here. Did Clay have a good game? No. When he did have an opportunity, he threw the pick six. That was bad. That all but pretty much sealed the game, was the pick six. I'm not like saying he's blameless in this, but there's no rhythm Clay could get into. It looked clunky. Angel, I'm telling you, man, the comparisons between what I saw Saturday and the Broncos offense from a year ago, very close. Like, oh, we're going to commit to the run game, but we're going to run out of shotgun every time because that's our offense. We're not going to get the quarterback in any rhythm. And then suddenly they tried that in the third quarter. Clay was making some throws. He found Dallin Holker. He found Torrey Horton. And then, of course, he gets hit, knocked out of the game. And he looks like he's getting checked for a concussion. But I'm not sure. I didn't see him get hit in the head. But they were I was watching him on the sidelines. They were doing the whole test. And then he put his helmet back on, ready to go. And Jay Norvell just, it looked like from my vantage point, Norvell kind of gave him the cold shoulder and just took a step forward. He must have said, no, we're sticking with Braden at this point. And that's what happened. And Braden was 13 of 20, 210 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. But again, you got to be realistic here. The offense was doing no favors for Clay in that first half. Texter here from the 970. I recall one play specifically where four receivers all ran routes where they went about 5 to 7 yards out and turned around and waited for the ball. That's so easy to defend. Yeah, everyone says, oh, Clay didn't throw down the field. There were no receivers going downfield. I didn't see a lot of that. That four air raid I thought was supposed to be crazy routes and going deep all the time and that kind of thing. Tight ends going down the middle. I didn't see a lot of that until the second half. So this idea that Clay is terrible and they need to bench him, like, give it some time here. Now, if you don't, like, I had Tanner was telling me this. He said it seems like he has no confidence in Clay. Then don't start him. You had all offseason to try to find a different quarterback. And so if you weren't confident in Clay, then open up the competition and don't start him. If you think that you can't call a four air raid, your air raid offense with Clay, then you need to get a different quarterback. Now, if you're calling those plays and he's throwing it and they're just bad throws time and time again, then okay, bench the guy. I get it. But he wasn't given the tools on Saturday's game in that first half. I saw a really predictable offense. I've got the game notes here. Drive one. I just noted a few interesting things. They moved down the field quickly. There was an overthrow by Clay. You get the field goal. Number two, and then you're inconsistent with your running backs. Morrow was the number one running back on the first possession, and then it was Kobe Johnson, then it was Morrow, then it was... Okay, whatever. That's interesting. There was a three and out. It was two runs and a short pass. Drive three, three and out. Clay almost gets sacked. Gets out of it. Falls forward. Still three and out. Series four. You remember what happened on Series 4? You tell me if this is a good decision. Now, I believe it is... What is the score? Was it 7-3 at this point? When Washington State, they drive down the field. Yeah, Ward fumbled it. I remember that. Okay, and then the next drive, 3 and out. Washington State goes down to score. It's 7-3. The Rams are on their own 34-yard line. Own 34-yard line. Fourth and one. Own 34. What are you doing? It's only 7-3. Own 34-yard line, fourth and one. You're punting the football, right? They went for it. And it was a run. They've been running all day. No play action. No rollout. Nothing. Just... turn around, hand the ball off, let's run. Little counter. They didn't get it. Now, they stop Washington State, so it didn't come back to haunt them. but it was just showing me how clunky this was. They forced them to punt because they get a penalty. I think they got a sack. And so Washington State ends up not getting any points out of that. CSU's ball next. Another three and out. Run the ball. Throw short throw. Another run. Washington State gets the ball back after that on their own 16. I did this. I wrote, could this be a field position turning point? Big question marks. Nope. Ward found a guy on third and 12 or whatever, finds a guy wide open. Then they drive down. And then they actually go for it on fourth and goal and don't get it. So, again, Washington State kept you in this game. Two fumbles by Ward, and the Rams just fell on top of it. Washington State goes down and gets a field goal to end the half. It's 56-yard field goal. Janikowski? Is that the old Raiders kicker? 17-3 Washington State. And then after that, we know what happened in that third. It was rough. But I'm looking at this game, and there were opportunities there, but you were so hesitant to do anything on offense. If you're going to lose, go down swinging. Throw the ball. Texter here from Aaron. Again, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll break in a minute. I could only imagine what the time of possession was for the first three quarters if at the end of the game we only possessed the ball for 22 minutes. Yeah, that was a rough go. Time of possession was 37-40 to 22-20. That's not good. And you lost 50-24. More on that coming up. 32 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I went 1-4. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not phased. I'm going to get back into the lab, Angel, and we're going to figure out what we did wrong. What'd you do this weekend? How'd you do with your picks on this show? Because we don't do the preps thing.
You
picked Wyoming to cover.
I believe, yes.
But did you pick them to win? Now, we may be making a change in how we do this because I should get credit for CU. I should get credit for that. I picked them to cover, but I made my rules so difficult that I said they will cover but won't win. Should we simplify it?
Okay, so we both had Air Force outright to win.
Nailed that.
I had Wyoming to win.
Ah. I think we're making it too difficult on ourselves because you had them to win.
You had Texas Tech to cover.
Yes, I did. I went 1-4.
We both had CSU to cover.
Yes.
And we both had CU to cover.
Yeah, but I had CU to win.
Well, that's not what my notes just says.
I didn't have
CU
to win. Excuse me. I did not have CU to win. I just had them cover. Okay, so you're going to give me credit? You want to give me credit for the CU game?
Yeah, if they cover, they cover.
So I'm 2-3.
Regardless if they win or lose, they cover. So there you go.
Okay.
2-2.
Yeah, but I said on the show,
you're going off your words. I'm going off what's written on
okay.
the paper.
All right. So from now on, if you pick Wyoming to win, if you picked Wyoming to cover, and then they end up winning, then you get the credit, even though you didn't pick them to win.
But it's just worth 1 point.
Yeah, just cover. Okay. So because I think I'm making it too difficult on myself.
Yes, and me.
Yeah. So from now on, you pick a win or a loss, or you pick a cover.
So I'm 3-1 on this show, and I'm 1-2 on the other show. Or like 2-4 on the other show.
You 3-1? UNC. You got UNC wrong, too.
We didn't pick UNC in this one.
Yeah, but we picked them on Thursday, didn't we?
I don't know if we counted it.
I counted it. I counted it. That's why I'm saying I'm 1-4. But you're giving me CU, so I'm 2-3.
Okay. So you're 2-3, and then I'm 3-2.
Okay. Yeah, that's better. That's better. Is that fair, Hooligans? Are you going to let me off the hook on that one? Oh, gosh. Texters. Brady, I had a dream last night. Always scary when it starts like that. CSU is sending out film for CU, so think they will be cakewalk. Woke up in a sweat prior to hitting the ground.
I don't know, coaching games there. You give CU bad film to watch. CSU gets 2 weeks of film worth to watch. I'm not writing off that game just yet.
No?
The next two games for sure. Writing them off.
Not writing it off? Okay. Well, we get picks coming up on Friday. CSU will not lose this weekend. I can guarantee you that. Guarantee it. Texter here from 970. Speaking of the running game, the backs weren't hitting the holes. Like even I was taught way back in high school, they kept dancing around back there. On a related note, I'm not a huge fan of running out of the shotgun. It only works if your pass game is a threat, which it wasn't. Yes, I hate running out of the shotgun unless your pass game is a threat. If you're for air raid, stop running out of shotgun. Or stop committing to the run. Not stop running out of shotgun, but run, pass the ball to set up the run in for air raid. That's what that's about. You're not a run team. If you want to be a run team, line Clay up under center, turn around, hand the ball off. Let's run. Let's go with a full head of steam at that line of scrimmage instead of a delay handoff from the shotgun. Hate that. Broncos did it last year. Drove me nuts. Texter from the 970. Buffs ranked 22. AP poll has them at 22?
Yes.
I was too off. I said they'd be at 20. You're welcome. I got that right. 8 points for Gryffindor. That counts.
They've ranked them over Texas A&M, Tulane, and Clemson. Which is interesting because this poll has Duke over Clemson, but the coaches' poll has it the other way. This is why we need to get rid of preseason
rankings. Why do we have 4,000 polls? One poll to rule them all. Come on, that's two nerd references in one
take. It's two for now, and then November the CFP will put out their poll, and then we'll have three.
No, just one poll. Come on. Stickman says, no, that's bull crap. I picked CU to cover, and you made me pick to win or lose. I picked them to win, of course.
Yes, you picked them to cover, and then we're also asking additionally, do you think they'll win or lose? The win or loss doesn't affect your score. It's just the cover.
To be fair, I was saying the opposite of that. But
you can't
I'm going
the rules every week.
I'm going with the new rule. New rule. I'll say I'm 1-4. If that would make everybody sleep better at night, I'm 1-4, fine. But new rule is, if I pick CU to cover, and they, like, for example, if I pick Nebraska to beat CU, Nebraska's the dog. If I say Nebraska's going to cover and then they win, I get that.
Yes, because they covered.
Yeah. But if I were to say Nebraska's going to cover,
you're,
but they're going to lose by one.
But we're only grading you on one of them.
Yes, from now on.
Yes. You're doing twice the work with only one result.
David says, quit haggling. Angel wins with the Wyoming upset call.
Pretty good call.
You did pick him to win?
I did.
Wow. You must have been listening to Cody, because you and Cody had it.
I told you, I'm not like down on Wyoming. I think they're a good program.
Oh, I do too.
Something about playing up in Laramie at night, like I wouldn't want to play there.
And that place was rocking. Yeah, CSU, you guys taking
notes?
Didn't
they have like a delay or something?
Yeah, they did.
There was a weather delay.
I was watching. I saw the delay, and I'm sitting at Canvas Stadium, and I'm looking at clouds, and I'm like, oh, that looks like it's right over there.
I loved it, because it finished like the primetime game wrapped up, and then I was like, oh, boom, Wyoming right here has just started.
Yep, I got home to watch that game, and it was amazing, and the environment was amazing. Now, in fairness, in my picks, I write little notes under my picks at thewholeshow.com, and I said, I believe Wyoming's going to be a good team. But I don't think they're going to cover. I think they're going to lose by two touchdowns, which doesn't mean they're a bad team. But they win in double overtime.
Looking just at this top 25 poll, five Pac-12 teams in the top 16, USC, Washington, Utah, Oregon, and Oregon State.
Pac-12 is the best conference in college football.
For now.
I hope they stay together forever. Dixon says, you're making it too hard. Just say for every game, you could get 2 points. One for win or out or loss outright.
No.
One for picking spread. So see, that's
no,
too complicated.
One available point. That is it. Unless you guys are doing this math and calculating it out, I don't want to hear how the scoring goes.
It's
one
just,
point, that's it.
So I'm picking, like, if I pick, who's going to be a dog this weekend? Who's a dog? Do we have dogs this weekend?
NC State and Notre Dame.
Yeah, so like
NC State's 10 points.
So if I say I'm taking NC State plus 10, and then I happen to say, but I think they're going to pull off an upset, that doesn't count. They could cover, but they win maybe, and I don't get two points. I don't get credit. I just get the win.
Yeah, that extra pick is for you guys. Yeah, just to know where you're rooting, but the actual score is the
now if I say I've got NC State to win, they have to win.
They have to win.
Yes. The cover doesn't do you any good because I'm saying they got to win.
But that would include them covering.
Yeah, but I picked them to win, not cover.
Well, you got to pick. They would cover if they win.
Correct, but they could cover and lose.
But I'm not giving you 2 points for that.
No. But I just, I'm telling you, I'm making it harder on me. If I say NC State's going to win, and they cover and lose, I do not get a point. That's a zero.
But they covered.
They didn't win. I'm picking them to win. That's the difference.
So you're risking 1 point or nothing.
Yep. Because that one, I think you got to be a little bit, like, you can't, you got to say, okay, I just picked them to cover. Okay, they cover, I got it, cool. But if I'm picking them to win, obviously I'm picking them to cover, but if I pick them to win, that counts. That doesn't count if they lose.
It's equal the same, though. It's the same result.
No. Point. It's not, though. If I'm saying they're going to win.
You're making a more accurate
if I
pick,
put money,
but it's not worth more.
If I put money on them to win, and they just cover, because I took the money line and picked them to win, and they just cover and lose, then I would not get money. I would lose my money.
Sure.
So you got to go off that rule. So just remember, you'll be fine. We'll figure it out. 45 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I think we got to sort it out now, our picks, how we're doing this. But do we decide, are we giving me the CU win or not? Are we giving me that?
I've already marked it, so yes.
Okay.
Whatever goes on that paper
yes.
is final.
Well, we got picks coming up on Friday. I'm gonna blow it away this weekend. Undefeated. I'm predicting that I'm going undefeated. Texter here from the 970. I can't stand the Buffs, but isn't CU plus 3.5 against Nebraska home dog the easiest pick going? I think it's CU minus 3.5.
I saw it opened at like 1.5. I'm gonna since move to 3.5, which is just kind of home field advantage for the home team.
Interesting. I don't know. Are the Buffs going to be a team that does the opposite of what we think is going to happen every weekend? So, like, right now we're all high on the Buffs. Blowout city. Maybe they get whooped by Nebraska. Now, I haven't done any research yet on Nebraska. I'll get there. But I don't know who this team is. Defense looks pretty good. Offense can't move the ball up and down the field. Can they get into a shootout with Shador? Stickman Brady's picks already have an asterisk next to it. Week one. Some Washington State Cougar fan got a hold of my tweet, my picks tweet, and retweeted it and said, nailed that Air Force pick. I liked that. I don't like that person because he was mean on other tweets too, but that, I'll give you credit, that was funny. Then there was another guy, CBS Sports is nationally televised. Like, that's what you want to argue about? The Rams just got their ass kicked, and you want to argue about whether CBS Sports is national TV. Hey, no, it's not national TV. We didn't get embarrassed in front of millions. We just got embarrassed. Okay. That's what we want to argue? Really? I'm calling you out, saying this is the performance you put in a big game and a big opportunity for CSU, and the thing you want to argue is whether CBS Sports Network is a nationally televised network or not. That's your problem, bro. Dixon, Nebraska scored 10 points against Minnesota. Buffs gonna roll them. You guys need to record your own records, too. Tell me what your records are, because I'm not going to go back and do
Big
that.
Big 12 football to Big 10 football. Like, we just saw the best two examples of that. This Nebraska game and then the CU game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's meet in the middle somewhere.
Is CU what Mel Tucker used to call the tennis shoe league? I don't know why. I don't know what that means. Okay, we got a break. Maybe we'll talk about that next. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron. We're Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Mondays at Cable's Pub and Grill, all you can eat spaghetti. Can't go wrong. For $5.95, all you can eat spaghetti at Cable's Pub and Grill. Spaghetti sounds fantastic right now. Maybe a trip over to Cable's this afternoon is in my near future. I don't know. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. On the Deion Sanders thing, on the Prime thing, let me be clear once more. I love it. It was fun. That game Saturday was fun. I haven't seen CU be fun in a while. When's the last time they were in the top 25? Would that be
2016.
Because they didn't crack it in 20. Did they not crack it in 2020 when they had the COVID year and Carl Durrell? They won a lot, but they only played like six games and not the hard part of the Pac-12.
I don't think so.
Maybe they didn't do rankings that year. I don't know.
They did.
They did?
They did.
Why? Was Alabama up there?
Yeah, they won the championship that year.
That one doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
No, COVID. COVID.
10-0 SEC of COVID. Schedule, that doesn't count?
Because of COVID. I don't make the rules. COVID made the rules.
Well, if COVID doesn't count, then Kendall Hinton's jersey needs to be taken out of the Hall of Fame.
No, that counts. That's a Hall. We have a Hall of Famer. I'm just so, like, we haven't even gotten into the Broncos yet. We got Broncos Raiders on Sunday. And I got to tell you, what happened over the weekend is just so damn interesting. Like, college football, man. It was fun. Tanner tells us he doesn't like it. What? How can you not like it? If you like football, then you've got to like what we saw over the weekend.
Brady's, when two of the three Tigers lose, I'm happy. Yeah. That's great.
Brady's picks are like that picture of the dress that took the internet by storm a few years ago. Was it blue? Was it gold? Doesn't matter. Brady Hole will spin it so it works in his favor. Being Mr. Thursday Nights has its benefits. You get to make it up as you go along. I am Mr. Thursday Night, and this is the whole show. We'll be right back.